It's time for another Steve Dale Petcast, sponsored by Zymox. Veterinarian recommended, pet parent trusted for resolving pets' ear, skin, and oral conditions for over 25 years. Now, here's Steve Dale.
Dr. Mary Gardner is here, who speaks all over the world to veterinary professionals, to pet parents, about a topic that somehow, Dr. Gardner, we are going to make interesting or fun anyway, or maybe, because it's about end-of-life care. And you are the co-founder of Lap of Love that is, I'll tell you, needed today, I think, more than ever before. It's wanted today more than ever before. Can you explain what Lap of Love is? Because people need to know this option is available.
I agree. So it is, we are a nationwide practice that exclusively does end-of-life care in the home. So families that are struggling with a pet that has terminal illness or advanced age issues, and the time has come where their quality of life is diminished, we will go to the home, be in their favorite spot, be surrounded by whomever the pet loves the best, whether it's one person or a party, which I've been a part of, and we help them transition to their next journey. And it has been a wonderful journey for us growing this company since 2009 and seeing the need and the want. Like you say, it's needed even more so now as pets are still, you know, increasingly becoming a part of the family, and the bond is so different than it was 40 years ago. So it's a wonderful niche that I love. And I'm glad that you said that we're going to have this topic and we may have a little fun with it, because we're such a death-adverse culture, but every pet family is going to have this situation come up, and I would like to just talk about it so that way it's not taboo, and actually show that we can bring joy to this time by sharing stories and honoring the pet as they deserve.
You know, a couple of things I tell people, and I want you to comment on it, is that if it happened the other way around, and if we passed away before our pets, which can happen, and certainly with pet parrots who live a very long time, but or tortoises, if anyone has a giant tortoise, but by and large, if it were to happen on the other way around, what would the dogs or cats do? The other thing that I talk about is the bond now is so intense, and the love we shared for however many years with, I'm primarily talking dogs and cats, with that dog or cat. My gosh, there's nothing like it. And you're lucky to have had that at all. And to have had that and to celebrate it, it's hard to look at it that way when you have to deal with the end, but you had what you had for a reason, and most people have a pet. Over 60% of people now in America, over 60% of households have a companion animal. No one, I don't believe that the President of the United States has ever mandated, get a pet. It's a choice we make, you know, and we make it for a reason. Can you comment on all of that?
Yeah, that was a lot. I love how you started with what would they do if it was reversed, right? And I think that they would do the same thing for us as we would want to do, and be with them, be in the home. You know, they would want us to have, you know, the comfort and the care and the things that we love and the sounds and the smells and all those beautiful things to be a part of our departure. And I think that we have to grant that when we can. And it is, you know, nobody, we don't want to plan for this, right? Sadly, they don't live usually longer than us. So we will normally always have to say goodbye to our pets. But the alternative of not talking about it, the alternative of not planning, is emergency situations. Whether it is, you know, you just don't want to say goodbye, so you kind of, dare I say, procrastinate, and I don't want to sound judgy on that, but it is a reality. Nobody wants to make this phone call. It's the worst phone call you'll ever have to make. But we procrastinate, hoping for a good day, hoping tomorrow's a little better. and sometimes it's not. And then we're in a last minute situation, right? So many families end up going to emergency clinics, which is the worst situation. As wonderful as those emergency clinics try to make it, it's not beautiful. It's not at home. And so the alternative is I would rather say goodbye a week too soon than a day too late or an hour too late. And I always say I have to suffer so they don't. And I will always suffer when I say goodbye. Like, oh, I cry the house down, Steve, on all my pets. But I know that I've provided them a good goodbye. And the other alternative is natural passing, which doesn't come without problems with pain, anxiety, things like that. Like, there are situations where they could maybe pass in their sleep, and it's a beautiful thing, but oftentimes they don't, or they have an ailment that is so bad, like mobility issues. I see it so bad with larger dogs, mobility issues, and owners just don't want to say goodbye, but their dog hasn't moved in weeks. They can't move, but that's not going to take the life of the pet. They will not move for months, for years even, because that's not a life-limiting problem. They may get bed sores and infections, stuff like that. But sometimes people wait so long and Mother Nature is not coming to help. And then that pet is without, is actually suffering at that point. So I get it though, because we don't ever want to do this, and we'd like somebody else to make that decision for us, Mother Nature, but she's not fast nor friendly.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think people romanticize that sometimes.
They do.
Yeah.
They really do. And I think about human medicine and human hospice and things like that. We don't really have euthanasia in the human world. I know there's the right to die, which is in a couple of states, but that is very different than euthanasia. So that is, euthanasia is someone else making the decision to end a life. So we don't have that in human medicine. So what do? If you've got an elderly person in end stage liver failure and they're going to, have a few weeks left or a few days left, we medicate them. We make sure that they're on good doses of morphine, that they're resting comfortably. We're doing stuff to prevent that suffering from happening and then let Mother Nature do what happens, but with the assistance of medicine. And sadly, so many pets are not getting that if the family is against euthanasia. So euthanasia, I always say euthanasia is not ending life. What we're doing is ending the dying process. So if you've got a cat with lymphoma and they're not doing well and their body is slowly, shutting down and they're not eating as much, they're vomiting, things like that, they're already beginning the dying process. The death is not a moment. It's a phase. It's long. And euthanasia can help stop that and stop the struggles that they're having. And we could try to make it a beautiful moment for them, surrounded by everybody that they love, with the food that they love if they're still eating. Like when I go, Steve, I would like you there and a couple of my other good friends to wish me, good thoughts and a stack of Oreos. That's how I want to go, right?
Well,
maybe on a beach? I don't know.
A beach, maybe. And I'd love to hear that, because that means maybe I am in the club. I don't know. So I want to ask you this. What is the advantage for people to do this at home? And it seems like, the other thing is that, all right, I go to a veterinary practice, for example, say, I'm just making this up, and I call and say, I think my pet is ready. And the veterinary practice says, no, we can't leave today. We're too busy. Or we don't do that. Then we're stuck, right? But what is the advantage of choosing Lap of Love or others that will come to the home?
Okay, so this is, I literally yesterday got an email from a woman about her dog, and she was so mad at her vet because the vet wouldn't go to her house to euthanize her dog. And she's like, he says he cares about animals, but he's not going to do it. And I said, that has nothing to do with the level of care. He cares about animals. That's why we're veterinarians. Logistically, vets cannot always leave their practice. Legally, sometimes they literally cannot leave their practice. And so, so there's not necessarily an opportunity for them to leave, drive to your house, do the euthanasia, take the pet, drive back. That could be 2 hours to leave a practice where emergencies are coming in, other animals need help, and they legally have to stay there to be there. And And, you know, after work, it's not, you know, they have a family to go home to and stuff like that. So I do think we have to take, as pet owners, have to take some responsibility and not leave the guilt on the veterinary community to say you're not available. So that's why there's companies like Lap of Love and others. We actually created a directory called vetangel.com. And so any veterinary who offers in-home euthanasia can actually set up a listing, a profile for free, put in your zip code, just like at lapoflove.com. You put in your zip code, and up comes the people that can help you in your area. And, you know, it's not everywhere across the country. So I always tell people to plan in advance when you can. Get the information. Find out, hey, is it Monday through Friday? Do you work weekends? Do you do evenings if I need an evening? And ask your vet, will you come to my house? And if they can't, don't think negatively of that. It is logistically not always possible. But it's the benefit is, Steve, is good for a number of reasons. One is the obvious, which the pet is comfortable in their house. A lot of pets don't like to go to the clinic. I don't really love to go to my own doctor, right? But getting in a car when you're sick, when you've got arthritis and pain or nausea, whatever, and you know, that's tough. And going into a clinic, that's tough. And so to be able to stay in your bed or on your backyard, or I've been on boats. I've done euthanasia on boats. So like where your favorite spot is comfortable. The other thing that's really nice for the family, because not only do they provide this peaceful goodbye to their pet, which makes them, you know, feel good that you can do this, but also grief can be very, you know, intense at this moment. And some people need privacy. And to walk into a clinic as you're crying, to leave the clinic as, you know, snot's running out of your nose and you're crying and everybody's staring at you. Like, sometimes we just need that privacy to have that space and give ourselves grace to mourn. I wail when my own pets die. And I'm a vet that does this, but I'm a pet mom first. And I don't want anybody around me when I'm going through that. I don't want anybody talking to me. So it provides a lot of privacy for that. And also, you can have whoever you want there. So if you've got an extended family with 20 people, pack the room at your house, right? And if it's not disruptive to the dog or cat or guinea pig or rabbit or parrot, then have, you know, have a goodbye party.
I love the idea of a goodbye party. And I also love the idea of doing something later with friends, family, a celebration, yes, of life. And in fact,
totally,
we're about to do that with a very dear friend of mine. So you mentioned a boat.
Doing, I know.
Where? Well, hopefully it wasn't a submarine. At least you were above.
No.
But what is
above?
What do you have another example of another place where you drove to that address, okay, or maybe you knew where you were going? I don't know. And thought, once I got there, I can't believe I'm doing it here.
Well, I've done a couple of goodbyes on beaches, and because I live in South Florida and I lived in Southern California, so both along the coast, beautiful weather all year round, and so I've done a number of them on the beach, and there's some pre-planning that needs to get involved. I don't want to encourage people that if their pet, you got to do what's best for the pet, right? So if your dog is immobile, yet they love the beach, it's not time to bring them to the beach. You know, like, this is not the time to drag them out of their comfort spot. But if the pet is still mobile and they enjoy going somewhere, I also pulled up, Steve, once to a family, and it was a woman who's a practice manager at a veterinary clinic, actually, and she was in the back of the car with her dog. It was a younger German Shepherd, had measles cancer, and they were in the car, and I said, what are you guys doing? So she's like, oh, we just went for a ride. He loves the car. It's his favorite place. And I said, would you like me to say, to do the goodbye here in the car? And she's like, you do it in a car? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, we're even in their driveway. It's not a problem at all. And so she was so grateful that the dog could be in their favorite spot, which was hanging out in the car.
That's
and
cool.
It was really cool. Like, I love, and just, it could be in the backyard. I've been on many, many master beds. I've been in the, you know, bedrooms of the, you know, the parents, and under beds, under a pool table once.
Under, did they say that again? On a pool
under
table?
Under a pool table.
Why under a pool table?
The dog loved to, his bed was under the pool table. So I said, oh, I'll crawl underneath there. And I'm big, as you know, I crawl underneath there. So it's actually really lovely to see also some of the ceremonies that people kind of do. And I was at one goodbye party for Juno. It was a big mastiff. And they had a luau. And everybody had leis on and, you know, some cocktails and mocktails.
Wow.
And it was, the whole neighborhood was there. It was beautiful. And, you know, and we all did a celebratory, you know, toast to Juno. And it was beautiful. And I love also some of the, you know, religious ceremonies that will, you know, I've been into Buddhist. I've had many Jewish families, and they'll do the prayers in Hebrew, and it's just lovely to see the respect that is given to that pet.
Wow.
As if it was a human.
Wow.
Yeah.
I could see it 25 years from now, you get a call from Elon Musk saying, come up to space.
Come up there. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? I might go. I might need to sedate myself first.
Weightlessness. But you could figure it out. If anyone could figure it out, it would be this woman. Yeah, Dr. Mary Gardner. We'll be back with Dr. Gardner. She has a couple of books out I want to talk about next.
Okay.
Here on the Petcast on WGN. Hi, friends. Steve Dale here. Itch, scratch, rub, chew, repeat. Does that sound like your pet? Help is here. Zymox-based skin and ear care products can help calm and soothe your pet's angry skin or red infected ears. For 25 years, Zymox ear drops, topical cream, shampoos, and conditioners have been helping pets find relief. Zymox is available online on Amazon and Chewy, at Petco, PetSmart, and other fine pet retailers, and from local veterinarians. Dr. Mary Gardner is a renowned veterinarian who speaks all over the world about, can you believe it, end-of-life related issues, but also older pets. And we have more older pets than we ever have had. One of the reasons we have more pets than we ever have had, but also our pets are living longer than ever before. While Dr. Gardner generally speaks to veterinary professionals, she's written not one, but two books. For all of you, in part, one called It's Never Long Enough, A Practical Guide to Caring for Your Geriatric Dog. Another, Nine Lives Are Not Enough. Guess what that's about? A Practical Guide to Caring for Your Geriatric Cat. I'll give the names of those books one more time before we go. Dr. Gardner, what motivated you to write these books?
Oh, well, doing end of life, I go to many homes where their pets are older. And what I noticed was many of these pets were struggling with the ailments of age or disease, and the families were also struggling managing these ailments. And sadly, so many of these pets had not been to their doctor in over a year. And I actually did a lot of research on this, not just through Lap of Love, but through all clinics across the country. So I looked at data, and I looked at 18 million pets. And did you know that the pet population, I broke down into categories like puppies, kittens, adults, and that 44% of the pet population is senior or geriatric, super seniors. And so that's nearly half is seniors. Now, the other research I did looked at pets that were euthanized across the country, and I looked at nearly a million pets that were euthanized. And it's about 50% have not been to their doctor the year before they die. And there's so much that we could do. Now, I'm not talking about spending loads of money chasing things it's pain management, it's anxiety management, it's helping a family deal with incontinence, it's helping them set up the house for a visually impaired cat. Like, it's all these things that we can do to support that family as the aging process carries on. So I felt there was a need for all the stuff I learned in the last, 15 years on caring for a senior pet and a geriatric pet. And if I could touch on real fast the difference to me between senior and geriatric, because I know there's a lot of confusion with that. And I use the word geriatric a lot because senior is just a number. And for dogs, it's usually around 7. And cats, too. 8 or 9 is usually when we consider a cat a senior cat. You know, different breeds may have some, different numbers, but that's just a number. It's like me and you, Steve. When are we senior citizens?
Oh, never.
An argument that it's 60. Never. Yeah,
never.
Go. Some people say 65. Some people say never. Some people say it's 55. The AARP sent me some literature when I turned 50 this year. So it's just a number. But a geriatric human, if you think about a human, is very different than just a senior citizen. That's not just how old they are, but it's how they are. And that's, for me, is these older dogs and cats that are struggling with something. Because you could have a 10-year-old lab that technically is senior, but they're still running around and they don't have any issues. you could have a 13-year-old lab, though, that is struggling with mobility, is struggling to hear, you know, all these things that they're managing. Cognitive canine dysfunction is huge. So it's sort of like doggy Alzheimer's, and they're panting and pacing at night, and they can't get to sleep. So those, to me, are the fragile dogs and cats that are geriatric, and the ravages of age are coming at them. And so I wrote these books for a guide. I wanted everything a family needed to know about the aging process, ways to manage the ailments they're dealing with, talk about how to assess quality of life. And I also talk about euthanasia in the book, because I think it's something I want people to be prepared for and empowered to make the best decision.
Yeah, I mean, the question you get asked most often, I suppose, is how do I know when it's time?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think I'm about to ask you a question that maybe, with all the questions people have asked you, maybe you've not been asked.
Maybe. Give it to me.
Are you familiar with blue zones, as they're called?
The diet? Blue zone diet? Oh.
Maybe. These are places around the world where people, you do know, where people tend to live
Yes.
Okay.
It's the areas that have the most centurions in them. So people who live to 100.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, you are so smart. So
I did research for my books. That's why.
No, you're also so smart. So there are all these places around the world, actually, there aren't that many of them, where you have these concentrated areas where people live a very long time. And in many of these places, lots of centurions are people that have lived over 100. But not only are they living a long time, the quality of their life is not what it is greatly in America. So these are people that are over 100, very often, that are still active, healthy, relatively speaking. Yes. And also, the incidence of Alzheimer's isn't anywhere near, or dementia, what it is in America in general. So here's the question.
Okay.
If you were to create a blue zone for dogs and cats, what would those places look like? What would be the magic to help our pets live an even longer life, but with quality?
Oh, my gosh. So you win the prize. No one has ever asked me that. And I love this question. And I'm going to answer it. You're going to be like, well, that was the easy way out, Mary. But I'm going to say, like, why? The magic place is exactly where those other places are for the human. But it's not just the location, like wherever it may be. And I know one is somewhere in Japan, right? And it's beautiful.
Okinawa.
It's their lifestyle. Yeah, I think it is. It's their lifestyle. It's their health, their eating style. It's the things that they do. And our pets, especially dogs, mimic our lifestyle so much. And so if we're sedentary humans and we're just eating processed crappy foods, and we're giving it to our animals, and we smoke sometimes around them, and, you know, they get these problems, and there's chemicals in our paint and our rugs, and all these things affect our pets too. So if we could live the lifestyle of these blue zones, our pets would actually benefit as well. And one of the biggest things that they did find in these blue zone areas is activity. You got to keep on moving.
Yes.
And I see so many older dogs and cats that are in pain. Maybe it's arthritis. Maybe it can be something else. But they're not on pain management, so it's painful for them to move. And then everyone is like, well, it's just an old dog, so we're not going to go for walks. Keep them moving. Get pain under control and get them moving. And same thing with cats. And I know you and I are huge advocates for enrichment. And that is also vitally important to keep these guys. You got to keep the mind going. We want to do scenting games and hunting games and all these things to keep their minds going, because that's losing that, just like us, right? You go to a nursing home and you got to play pinochle with them. And you know, you know what I love? I love my Instagram. I don't know, you know, Instagram knows what I'm into. I get these reels of like games in nursing homes where they're playing with like laundry baskets and they're using them as drums, and like they've got the fake pickleball courts in the lunchroom. I love it. I share it all the time because that's what we need to do. And so so we have to enrich our animals' environment, keep them active. A cat wants to lay in a sunbeam, but they also want to, you know, be a part of the family. And so I know I just like went a little crazy, but I love that question. So good nutrition, movement, and enrichment would be my Shangri-La for our older pets.
All right.
Sign me up to be president. Or secretary. I don't care.
I sign you up. It's never long enough. A practical guide to caring for your geriatric dog. Or 9 lives are not enough. A practical guide to caring for your geriatric cats. These books are available at Amazon, right?
Yes. Yeah. Amazon and Books A Million, all the online stores.
All right. All the online stores. Dr. Mary Gardner, you're incredible. Lap of Love.
Thank you for having me.
We mentioned that a couple of times. Give the website for that.
Yeah, so it is Lap of Love, and it's one lap. So LAPOFLOVE, not Laps of Love. So Lap of Love. And my website is drmarygardner.com, where I have a lot of information as well. So I really appreciate you taking the time, Steve, on this very important topic.
Yep. Any pet parent has got to deal with it at some point, and it's something that so many don't talk about. So I'm glad we did, and I'm grateful for our friendship. Thank you, Dr. Gardner.
Oh, me too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast from Steve Dale, sponsored by Zymox. Veterinarian recommended, pet parent trusted for resolving pets' ear, skin, and oral conditions for over 25 years.